Have you fully owned producer? Like, are you already? Because of course, people know you either as a creator, a host, an actor, but now you fully embraced, I am a producer.
I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm still hesitant on putting it on my IG. Or did I put it already?
Like the bio?
Yeah,
the
bio.
Let actually, me check.
I don't
right
even remember
now
if I put it there na. Parang hindi pa eh. Parang check mo nga meron ba.
It just says, by the way, for everyone, entrepreneur, actor, host, investor. Wala pang producer. Will you own it when the film is out commercially? Like,
yeah, I think baka dun, like in the Philippine premiere the next morning, that's the first thing that I'll do.
That's
probably
like, that's like a wedding. Women change their surname in the Instagram bio.
You're right.
The
you're
day
right
after the wedding. Wow. Hello, supers! This is Paano Ba To The Podcast, created and hosted by me, Bianca Gonzalez, produced under Anima Podcasts. Today on the podcast, we are talking about overcoming fear, how to approach failure with host slash actor slash creator turned producer, Richard Wan. Of course, I first met Richard when he was a housemate on Pinoy Big Brother, and eventually he joined on as one of the hosts. And I am so excited for you to hear this conversation kasi Richard is always super insightful. And of course, he has a film coming out under Parallel Skies. Let's get right to it. Well, first of all, pala, welcome to Paano Ba To The Podcast.
I was waiting for the intro, actually.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're finally here and for such a big project as well. So yeah, you mentioned seeing your name on the screen credits. I remember one of my first rackets in ABS, I think I was a post-production PA or something. And it was a documentary. And when I saw my name on the credits, syempre pag at assistant ka, medyo mas dulo ka pa, diba? And that feeling was already like, wow, what more this? That executive producer comes out like literally after director.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at Asian Film Awards, seeing your name, executive producer Richard Wan, what did that feel like?
You saying that right now literally gave me goosebumps. The way you phrase it, thank you, of course. But like, grabe, it was a feeling na hindi ko talaga alam. Like, I keep saying, like, I don't know how I got here. Because my whole career, my whole life has always been just me going for the next step. I always have a big goal, big dream, big, but on target on where I want to go. But the path in between has always been like left, right. And it's always been like one step at a time and see what's next and all that. And the fact that I got there to that point, that's the Asian Film Awards, a featured program, or, you know, arguably the finale program also. Goosebumps, literally until now, thinking about it, goosebumps.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we are going to rewind of how you actually got there. Like I mentioned, people know you either because you were a housemate, or they watch your YouTube videos, or they've watched you act. But now, and correct me if I'm wrong, you made that pivot during the pandemic when you put up 28 Squared Studios.
Yeah.
So you've been a creator for a long time. You kind of know production in that way. But tell us the story of how that was born, 28 Squared Studios.
I guess I'll start with what 28 Squared Studios means.
Mm-hmm.
28 has always been a number that's been very, very special to me because for various reasons. One, my birthday is August 2.
Mm-hmm.
So eight and two is always there. In Cantonese, 2 and 8, when you say yi pa, it sounds a lot like easy to get rich. Yi fa, yi pa, yi pa, yi fa. So that's kind of like that. And then you put 2 and you put 8 na tabingi siya, infinity. So parang 2 infinity and beyond.
Mm.
And that's always been something that I guess for me in my life has been very significant, where it's always to infinity and beyond. In a way that I have big dreams, big goals. Don't know how to get there yet, but at least I know the direction that I'm going. And like I said earlier, no, konting pa left, right, pa ikot, ikot, and then I got there. So that's the meaning of 28 Squared Studios. So how it was born was really during the pandemic. Right before pandemic, as I feel like I was on the verge of a potential break with, you know, with on acting on TV. It was my first role where I felt that they were really, I guess, pushing or growing or grooming me towards that, you know, acting. But yun, pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. This was for Love Thy Woman. They were pairing me up somehow with Kim Chu. Mm-hmm. I remember this. And yeah, tapos parang, I remember my very last script I received, I was supposed to confess to the mom of Kim in the show na parang like, oh, I want to make ligaw your daughter, parang ganun levels na. So they were really trying to build that storyline. Eh, wala. Pandemic happened. The last thing that I shot during the parang the closing of my chapter of the in the story, moving to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they realized that, you know what, we have to budget cut and all that because of COVID. He wrote to shoot. They just killed off my story. And, you know, even my castmates during that time were quite surprised. I'm like, oh my God, your story was supposed to be good. Nah, maganun. Eh, wala, ganun talaga yung pandemic. So I remember during that time that I was really confused on why this had to happen to me in a way. Why this timing na parang...
ito na yun eh.
Ito na yun eh. Diba? Kasi nahawak ko ng script eh. Like as in, if I didn't see that script, I would be more okay, I think. But it was there. I still have it at home. I was joking with my dad, like I think a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know what? This is the script where it was supposed to change my life, but I guess it somehow changed my life on a different in a different way. And we were, wow. I was going to frame it or put it in a box or something like that. But yeah, that's how I know. And so so during the pandemic, you know, everything's gone. A lot of my content before was traveling. I mean, the farthest I traveled during pandemic was from like my room to like the dining room, you know? So what kind of content can I produce?
Right. And
medyo, yeah, that was really a time of my life where I'm like, okay, maybe I need to go back to doing business with my family, maybe explore something else. Because what else can, you know, we thought pandemic was going to be like, what, 2 months lang? I had to explore options. I'm not someone that likes to just sit down and wait and wait and wait. I'm lucky enough to know that I cannot just sit and wait. I have more outs than one in life. So yun, decided to explore stuff. Very lucky that we have some projects na lumalapit sa amin na parang lumalapit sa akin na, hey Richard, do you know, because I know that you do content, do you know, do online events? Diba uso yung online events dati, yung parang nagla-live sa bahay, tapos mga ganun, and then may mga, you invite like, you know, audience people to go on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Those were the pandemic days and yun, so I was lucky enough to have met my current business partner who has connects in those kind of stuff. So we were able to find a streamer that can mount all that, and I have the clients. So we kind of like, you know, it was a tandem that worked. And the idea was really just to produce those kind of stuff first, and then maybe explore. And the next thing we started exploring, like lifestyle content and all that when pandemic started easing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it led us to like producing a documentary about the Philippines. So it's every step, it was more like, what's next? What do we do next? And then, yun. So that's how kind of like everything in 20 Squared Studio started. And it was really more of just seeking opportunities despite, you know, all the hardship that is going around.
And for me, it looks like creating those opportunities. And it's so poetic that you shared about the script that you want to frame. Because diba, usually it's things like that na parang, why me? Or this was it. But then apparently that was just like some turning point to really push you to where you're meant to be. So fast forward to from creating online events to lifestyle content, how did it turn into a full-length feature film?
So it's really just us as a company. We're looking at, because the core of the company is we really believe in trying to create content that's not just for the Philippines, not just for Asia, and hopefully for the world. At least, you know, what we want to do is at least regional sana. So kaya yung first documentary that we produced is called Tropical Home. It's basically looking for foreigners that lives in the Philippines and finding out their stories on why they decide to live in the Philippines. What's so beautiful about this place? Because, you know, at the same time, I've always been an advocate of Philippine travel tourism industry. Kasi we have so many beautiful islands, there's so many all this stuff na parang hindi siya na showcase to the world. And I wish that we can do that more. And that's how it started. And then after we produced that, we were like, okay, what do we do next? You know, what do we do next? We want to do something that's more fun, something exciting, something we've never tried. And that's how we started thinking, now maybe we can do a film. Maybe, you know, so of course we didn't think about going so big yet. We thought about, like, let's do a local film, something simple, smaller
indie
budget,
film
yeah. Or maybe even a short film. We explored doing that. We actually did a short film, now AI directed.
Yes,
and all
I
that.
Saw that written yeah. and directed by AI.
Correct. Yeah. So we started exploring. We did that first, and then but during that time we were in at the back of our head, we're thinking like maybe we can do a film. So from there we were like, okay, where do we start? What do we want? What type of film do we want to do? Ultimately, like I said, the goal has always been to do a regional project, something. So we always knew that we were going to shoot abroad.
Mm.
But abroad, saan ba? We were thinking of places like, you know, Korea, because you know, uso in Korea. And for some reason, we eventually settled to shooting in Hong Kong. Kasi, syempre, you know, it's still my first home. I have my connections there. So if ever something may issue, whatever, I can always call someone and I'm able to figure it out. Instead of pag sa Korea, I don't speak the language. I don't have enough friends out there. So that's how Hong Kong became a location that we had in mind. And then, of course, we're looking at different directors. So us being very practical, we looked at the list. We're an independent company. Who's the director that directed the highest grossing independent film?
Mm-hmm.
Direk Sigrid for Kita Kita. So parang ganun talaga yung logic namin. So we reached out to Direk Sigrid. And we pitched the idea to Direk Sigrid, like, we're a new company here. We want to do something that's regional. We want to do something that's not just the norm and stuff like that. And of course, you know, everyone says this kind of stuff, you know, do something different, da da da. But I think Direk Sigrid saw the passion that we had. She saw that we really wanted to do something different. Now, we're not saying it just for the sake of saying it. So she was the first person on board this project and the first person that really, I would say, believed in the vision that we had in the company. So that's how the first step is. And then after that, that's when we started thinking, like, okay, ano naman pwede sa artista? Sino kaya mga options natin sa artista? Initially, we were thinking of like local names. But it was just out of like a random brainstorm where my business partner said, diba kilala mo yung si ano si Win Metawin from, kasi I saw you have a photo with him, baka naman he might be interested to do a project. And I was like, nah, baka medyo far fetched to, parang, you know, why would they want to do a project na ano? And then but there's no harm to try. I think that's the core of this part of the story, is there's no harm to try. So I guess throughout my content creation years, I was lucky enough to have built a network in Thailand. So I told some of my friends, hey, I want to do this idea. Baka naman, you can help me up, back me up, tell me who to talk to, mga ganun. Not tell them that, hey, this Richard one's legit. He's not a scammer or anything like that. So yun, that was when we reached out to their team. We pitched the project. We pitched the idea. So they said, they entertained us. I was very pleasantly surprised that they entertained us. And we're like, okay, here's a couple of concepts that we have. What do you guys think? And then they looked at the concept and they did, you know, they were interested. They believed in this might be something that's fun, something that is different. And I think saktong timing din kasi, we saw a video of Win mentioning something about wanting to work with more international people. Not just in Thailand, just, you know, to be outside of Thailand also. And I think it was also something like stars aligning then. Because he wanted to do something like that. We wanted to do something like that. And we came in at the right time to pitch him this project. And he believed in the story. He liked the story also. And that's how we were able to get Win to initially say yes to us in that way. And then that's why we started drafting the whole script and all that.
Oh, yeah. The script came after. It wasn't a ready script of Direk Sigrid or a concept she had back. It was like from scratch.
Exactly, from scratch.
Wow.
That's why we were very, you know, I'm very grateful that number one, Direk Sigrid is the one that first believed in the project that we wanted to do. And of course, you know, without a script or without anything, but we were throwing ideas already to Win steam. I mean, to Direk Sigrid to say that, hey, we're looking to maybe get a Thai actor. Baka kaya naman natin gawa ng isang kwento ng ganito. I was like, you know, and Direk was like, yeah, game, and all that. And when Direk Sigrid already got some stories, we pitched them to Win. And then, yeah, I'm just lucky that, you know, Win says, you know, he likes a story. He likes the, ano. And again, grateful for him to say yes, you know, for us as a new company and all that. And I hope that I proved to win that we're not a scammer here.
You know what visual comes to mind when you're making cuento? You know how there is a snowball at the top of the mountain? As it rolls down, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the momentum is so strong already. And parang it seems like that's what happened. Like from just this fun idea, it's suddenly now this huge regional film.
I think that's how life should be, in a way, that you really just take whatever's in front of you, slowly build on it, roll on it. And I don't know if this is like manifestation also, honestly. Like, I hear a lot about that word lately, like, you know, gotta manifest it, you gotta visualize it, you gotta see it. And I guess for me, someone like me, I always knew, quite frankly, this, I mean, I'm not trying to sound my yabbing or anything, but like, I always knew that I was supposed to get somewhere, but I just didn't know how I'm gonna get there.
Mm.
And taking all these baby steps and looking at all these dots or connections that I had in the last couple of years and just really pace it, putting them all together. And that's how we have this project. I always say this, it's a culmination of 10 years of being in this entertainment business, building the network that I had in my travels, in my influencer years. And of course, to be able to convince you know, Derek Sigrid, Wynn, and of course Janela also, because we had to pitch to Janela the concept also and shared an idea. Now we got Wynn and all that, and we actually pitched two stories to Janela, and she liked them both. It was a hard time for her to choose which one eventually, but eventually we had an agreement on Under Parallel Skies. But again, to have, you know, these three people really believe in the vision that we have or had and have, so it's honestly like something that I will always forever be grateful, like, but I like sila tatlo that I will always be, you know, you will never forget your first day, so sila talaga yung first day, so
yeah, for sure. It's so easy siguro for someone listening to this to say na, oh, it was all like roses for Richard and everything fell into place magically, but I'm sure there have been challenges along the way. You did mention 10 years in the industry, and congratulations.
Thank you.
On that. What can you say is like the lowest point of that 10 years? And like, how did you pick yourself up from that?
Ah, man. I mean, every time there's a high, of course, there's got to be a low so I can know what the low is. I guess one of the high points for sure for me is, you know, as a housemate as in BBB.
Sorry, housemate was how many years in the industry?
Ooh, that was 2015. So
like one-ish?
Because I started in 2014.
Do you start from Eat Bulaga? What is your count? Or do you start from...
okay, the way I define it, kasi Eat Bulaga was where I had my first taste.
Right.
A lot of my fans, we call Wanderers, they put that as the first kasi.
Okay.
I said that's the first time they saw me on TV.
Correct. And but you is, count it as...
I count that as my... I guess I have two firsts in a sense. Kasi I feel like PBB is my real first where I feel like this can be a career. Mm. I guess, yeah, being inside was definitely a high where I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is something that, first of all, I never expected. And number two, everyone wants to get in the house.
What was your moniker again?
Charming Chinito ng Bernyake.
I love it. Or Titor monikers forever,
right? Forever. So that was the first high that I really, really felt. Kasi I had a first taste of showbiz in Eat Bulaga na. So I'm like, oh, this is some fun stuff. But of course, the low would be being evicted. I still honestly, until this day, still remember how I felt. It will forever be part of me on what made Richard Juan, or is making Richard Juan, who he is today. Because that was a low where there were so many regrets. Honestly, there were so many regrets. You know, we always say we don't want to regret this, regret that. But honestly, in the house, there were so many regrets.
I feel. Wait, like, I have a question. Does that mean when you were inside the house, you wanted to make it all the way, like to the big night?
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm a competitive person. Mm. I would say that if I'm in it, I'm in it to win it.
And, right.
And like I said earlier, like again, don't want to sound mean, but I always feel like I'm supposed to get somewhere. And I thought that that was that might have, I feel like I had a chance. I feel like I really had a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just that, yeah, there were just so many regrets where I overthought about a lot of things. And
the house does that.
Yeah, the house does that too much. And I mean, and me, I'm an overthinker. I'm an overthinker in a lot of aspects in a way that, I don't know, like I overthink about things because I like to, I'm in Tagalog, like sigurista, like I'm medyo ganun ako, like I just want to make sure that making this move is the right thing. And maybe sometimes in life, I remember direct, Bobarol, we had a talk after.
Directed,
diba? Na parang sabi sa akin, like, oh my God, Richard, you know, you had so much potential, but you just, in the house, super nag-overthink ka lang lahat ng mga bagay. You could have been a big winner. You could have at least been the top four, big four rather. And yun, so I remember that conversation also until this day na parang, I don't like that feeling. I don't want that feeling anymore. And hence why I do things a lot more where I take bigger risk na. Unlike before, I was being conservative in a way na, okay, baka kasi ito nangyari, kasi ito, I have to do this, I'll do that. But now, baby steps, whatever's in front, take it, and things would probably snowball. But yeah, that was definitely a very, very low point. I remember right after getting evicted, I was so frustrated at myself. It wasn't even sad, it was frustration. And but I'm like, I knew that this was not supposed to be the way it's supposed to end. I knew that if I did not do stupid stuff where I just overthink about everything. Like, I guess that's part of being me. Because I can honestly say that being in a house, I've always been who I am. I've never faked whatever it is. But it's just that that's me in that at that point in my life. Eh? I'm an overthinker. I overanalyze everything. And I want to, yeah, to just overthink because that's me. And of course, the older you get, the more you realize that, sure, overthinking is good. But wag masyado madami. But sometimes you gotta live life a little bit, and yeah, that's that. But definitely, that was a very low point.
I was honestly that was like the farthest from my mind from what you would answer as a low point. Yeah, but now it's so eye opening that even that experience sort of like woke up something in you to, yun nga, to be more present and to seize opportunities.
Correct.
Galing.
That's how I felt because like, I remember I was going up and then I was here at PBB and then when it just went crashing down and then I felt like it's been here for a while then. Like it's a low, when I say low point, it's like the pit, the bottom. But it's always been gradually going back up, finding my way. And I felt like I just never maximized where I was. And that's one of the things in my life that I really advocate for right now. Not just for unknown. That's why I'm very big on youth empowerment also. Because like, I feel like a lot of people have the opportunity. I've seen so many, let's say, creators. I've seen a lot of artistas. They had the platform. They have the platform. But I was like, oh man, I wish I was there. I wish I was in your position. Because I know what to do now. And lagi kong sinasabi sa mga younger artists or mga, I'm not that old, but like I've been through what they went through where they're at the top, and I was like, I know how you should take it to the next level. You know, those low points, I've always been low on a lot of low points. And you know, after BBB, so 2016, 2017, that's why I kept doing different things and trying new things. Because I was just never satisfied on where I was. That's why I tried to venture out into YouTube. I tried to venture out and all that because I knew that I had to grind my way through something again.
Yeah.
And I think that's my life. That's the summary of my life. People think that Richard Juan has been, you know, given the silver spoon and all that. But honestly, everything that I've done ever since graduating is, yeah, I never touched. You know, I come from a relatively blessed family. But like after that, I never, you know, relied on my family for anything, even for this film. Like, my dad did not even know about the film until 2 weeks, I think, before we're going to start shooting in Hong Kong.
What?
Yeah, I had to tell. Actually, my mom, too, because I had to tell her, like, Mom,
I'm leaving for, like,
yeah, my mom's still in Hong Kong. My dad's in Philippines. So I told my mom, Mom, please fix my room because I'm going to be back for a month. And I told my dad, I'm going to go back to Hong Kong for a month. So we're going to shoot a film. I was like, oh, congratulations, you have a new film that you're not, I have a new film, I'm producing it. Wow. And then, yeah, it was.
I love that story. Yeah. And I'm glad that you clarified that, you know, it's easy to look at you and think that, again, you have all the resources around you, but you had to put in the work, you had to grind. It's surprising talaga that the eviction was like a pivotal moment in your life, but now looking at it, bird's eye view, it does make sense. And I wanted to ask you about that. To those who are still in that place, Richard's mindset when he was in the house.
Yeah.
A lot of us, I'll include myself, are paralyzed by that fear, right? Fear of what if I don't do well? What if it fails? What if I get rejected?
Yeah.
What if people don't have good things to say about it? How have you come to terms with that? Well, we talked about it earlier. You have the fear, right? Yeah. But how do you, like, overcome it?
Honestly, you don't. You don't overcome fear. I feel like you just have to embrace the fear and do things scared, if that makes sense. Every single day, I'm scared about this project. Like... like, you know,
like literally just earlier he said, oh my gosh, I'm so scared.
Yeah, because I mean, every day I'm scared in a way that, you know, there are so many good things that are being said, but it's still not out there to the commercial. No, you know, people have not seen it. Not everyone has seen it. Literally less than 150 people have seen the film. And, you know, I get a lot of like great reviews and they're happy about it. But at the same time, you know, I don't know what the general public would think. So it's always that. So to answer your question, like, how do I overcome fear? I honestly don't overcome fear. I've always been scared. And I think that that's what makes life kind of fun. Like, if you're always in, you know, homeostasis and steady ng plage, you're expecting the same thing.
Naglabas ng mga cum laude words eh. Homeostasis. please. By the way, Richard is a cum laude. If you haven't seen that viral Twitter post, sorry, X post. What is homeostasis?
Parang stagnant na comfort zone. There we go. I think that then the more layman term is like comfort zone.
Okay.
You're always, you know, you're expecting the same thing already to happen every single day. Parang there's no thrill. There's no one. And I think that's why I'm pasmado because I'm always scared. But it's just I'm secretly scared, but I don't know. And yun, I think without fear, life would be boring in a way. And without taking risk, life would be boring. And I think a big part of my life is taking a lot of unexpected risks also. Coming to the Philippines was a big risk. You know, growing up in Hong Kong, I'm comfortable. I can always do the family business and all that stuff. But my first big step that changed my life completely was definitely moving to the Philippines when I was 18 for college. And then after that, the next big thing that leaving my comfort zone was, of course, going on Itbulaga. Next after that, PBB, where I exposed my whole life. And yeah, and ever since then, it's all about just taking small risk. And I realized that now I have to take a bigger risk again, which is, you know, during the pandemic. And then, yeah, the film, I guess. It's really the biggest sugal I've ever done in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, not just financially myself, you know, that these are hard-earned money that I accumulated or saved up for the last 10 years. And of course, I'm lucky to have investors also to come in to believe in the vision, the project. But also, I think emotionally, I don't know how I'm going to take it, especially if, you know, if things don't go well. I don't know how I'm going to take it. Where did we start? What was the question again?
We were talking about
fear. Oh, the fear, yeah.
Yeah. No, it all makes sense. And it's great that your stories show so much of the gains that one can have when you do take risks. Because you're right, it's so easy, me included, I'll just stay in my comfort zone because things work naman, things are okay. But sometimes you really, like you said, susugal ka eh, to like do something bigger. And circling back to what you mentioned at the start of the conversation, you said you're really always someone who dreams big.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful to see how it never really happened the way you thought it would happen.
Yeah.
But doors open to get to this biggest risk now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not there yet. I mean, I'm still on the, I'm so.
It's still not on the bio. Yeah. Not on the bio.
I mean, like it's, I guess the more you do, the more you want also. And it's part of human nature. And, you know, we always talk about being content with what we have. Yes, I'm content, but I'm always hungry for more. I think that's how I live my life. And I guess another thing is I always try to be the best version of myself. And I don't have to be the best in the world. Like that's always say to all my friends, all anyone who asks me for advice, I don't have to be the best in the world. I just have to be the best version of Richard Juan, and that's fine. Because, you know, we're born with advantages, we're born with disadvantages. Like from a young age, I've always been very practical also. I knew that I was never going to make it as a football player, like soccer player. Like
I remember this story of yours.
I gave up early because I don't feel like I need to, you know, to spend so much time chasing a dream that's impossible. I guess I'm practical in a way that I know there are limitations with me. I know that growing up, I was never supposed to be a performer. I stumbled upon this industry, but I guess I just had to find a way to how do I maximize this opportunity and to make the most out of it. And I think to everyone, you know, my biggest, you know, advice would be to really look at things in bird's eye view and look at what you're good at, look at what are the dots, what are the connections, what are stuff that you can connect together and build towards that instead.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that because that has worked so much in my life as well. Siguro as a final word for this conversation, seeing the bird's eye view of how your journey has been makes me feel like you kind of have a good compass on deciding what step to take next. So to everyone listening who might be in that space na parang, oh, what do I do next? Do I go here? Do I go here? What do you think has worked for you that might work for them in making that big decision?
Honestly, like, this always changes in my head. I wouldn't say my compass is accurate all the time. I've taken risks that failed. I've invested in things that failed. I've done projects that failed. And I think, you know, this is the most cliche thing you'll ever hear, but, you know, you have to be ready to fail in order to succeed. But at the end of the day, you got to be taking calculated risks. Looking at all of these things for me, especially for this film right now, I think a lot of things that I did were all calculated risks in a way. I knew that there are things that I could do to minimize my risk. I believe Jeff Bezos had a term for it. It's something along the lines of minimize risk in whatever that you do, but at the same time, try to achieve as much as you can. And I think that kind of is how I look at things. You know, if someone's in this position, I'll be like, you know, at least at a young age, that's when you can take as much risk as you can. I feel like in my 20s, I didn't take enough of that. And I feel like at 30, 31, this is the time that I can lose it all and still have the next decade to make it all back. At 20s, this is the time where you take all the risk that you can. All the risk, like as in don't even hold back.
Yeah.
But of course, don't do stupid stuff. Take the risk, but don't do stupid stuff.
Yeah, of course. Before I let you go, I just wanted to sundot one last question because you did mention it. Failure. How has your perspective on failure evolved through the years? How do you see failure now?
The funny thing is, I've never been asked this question, so I guess I never saw failure as failure. I've always hated failure, but I've never feared failure, if that makes sense. Like, I hated the feeling of failing, but I never get really scared of it. Because I guess maybe I'm just so used to doing things scared. I just hated to fail in a way that it just doesn't feel good. Because like I failed so many times where they're all small failures here and there. But I'm like, it doesn't work. Oh, okay, whatever. I'm sure there's a bigger picture that I can do. There's a bigger thing that I can do. Things can go a completely different way if I succeed. People completely forget about all the failures.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I failed in a business investment when it comes to a restaurant. I failed in terms of creating some projects that I thought that was going to fly. And I guess I also realized that you have to know what you're good at. And for me personally, I know that I'm better at least, not, I don't want to say good, but better at connecting dots. I'm horrible at starting something from very, very scratch. If there's something that's parang like one level 1 to 100, that's a level 2 na siya. I know how to take from level 2 to 100. But from level 0 to level 1, level 2, I'm not very good at that. So I usually identify people or opportunities that, nag-start na sila, alam ko na anong gagawin next. And I think that's what I'm good at. So that's why I try to do that. So I guess, yeah, two things. Know what you're horrible at. Don't do much of it. Know what you're good at and do a lot of it. And then you won't be afraid of failure.
Yeah. I heard that recently in one of those Instagram posts that you scroll, that we always hear, work on your weaknesses, work on your weaknesses. But this one says, and like what you said, it's okay to have weaknesses, but it's more work on your strengths, because you can always work with people who can complement what you're not so great at.
100%. You have to excel at what you're good at. Guess a week. Why spend something that you're here? Why spend all your time working on something that you're here? When you're something that you're good at already, edi sagad mo na lang, edi mas mano pa. People remember you as this. They will remember all the times that you spent in order to grind to level, like, I don't know. I'm just very practical, I guess.
Yeah. And you gave super practical advice throughout this conversation. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On Under Parallels, guys. Premiering in the Philippines, in Thailand, and in Singapore. That's
hopefully
crazy.
Hopefully more territories. Hopefully Hong Kong, hopefully Indonesia, Japan. At least around Asia. Like, that's my hope. Still working on that, though.
Not bad for an indie film.
For a first indie film.
Congratulations, Richard. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for our episode. Please do tag me with your favorite takeaways, favorite quotes, favorite learning from this episode at IamSuperBianca on Instagram Stories, and Twitter or X. And in case you aren't yet, please do follow Paano Ba To and tag us on Instagram as well. We also have our safe space, our community of supers, in the Paano Ba To Super Group, our private Facebook group. And if you are new to this episode and to this podcast, please do click the follow button and the bell button so that you're notified every time there's a new episode. And if you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating. So yeah, thank you again so much for joining me. As always, this is Paano Ba To, the podcast, created and hosted by me, Bianca Gonzalez, produced under Anima Podcasts. Till our next episode, stay super, supers.